Let's pray. Father, we do ask again that you draw close to us as we now reflect on this wonderful psalm, Psalm 103, for a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 103 is one of my favourite psalms. Like many psalms, it's a song of praise to the Lord. Now, sometimes we can sing hymns a bit half-heartedly, can't we? But not for the person who wrote this psalm, who is most likely King David. There's nothing half-hearted about this at all. No, it's a cry of praise from the heart. So listen again to how it begins. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. It's a passionate expression of joyful praise that comes from truly knowing God. And as we spend the next few minutes looking at it, we'll see that there are some excellent reasons to praise our great God. As I was preparing for this evening, two things in this psalm particularly struck me. The first one is how God is good, but we're not. God is good, but we're not. Gets better, don't panic. But let's start with ourselves. We are not good. We often pretend that we're the bee's knees, but realistically, we have to face up to our failings, and they're many, aren't they? It's not to say that human beings are incapable of doing good things. Of course, we can do many good things. But ultimately, well, we're just creatures that seem to mess up so often. And verse 10 tells us that the Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Well, we see in that verse evidence of the sad truth. We're sinners. We're people who so frequently, well, get it wrong. We're people who do not follow God's ways as we should. We mess up, so we're not good. But as we turn our attention to God, what a contrast we see. We're not good, but God is. God is good, and oh, how good he is. Verse 2, praise my soul, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. God shows his goodness to us completely. He gives us life. He gives us food to eat. He gives us water to drink. He gives us friends. He gives us joy. He gives us laughter. Verse 5 reminds us how the Lord satisfies our desires with good things. So God is good, and it is to the Lord, our great and good God, that we come tonight with all our needs. And because he is good, we can come in total confidence. But let's just stay in the text for a few moments longer. Verses 8 to 10, 12 take us on an even more awe-inspiring journey through the goodness of God. His goodness is now raised through unimaginable heights. Verse 8, God is not only morally good, he's also just incredibly kind and patient. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means that even though we're not good, even though we have messed up, even though we have so often treated the Lord poorly, he continues to hold out his love and compassion to those who will come to him in faith, admitting that they've messed up, saying sorry. You know what? You think about it. God is God. God doesn't have to be kind to us. He's God. He doesn't have to be kind to us. But he wants to be, because he abounds in love for us. And so in verse 10, we see his goodness expressed in his graciousness to us. Verse 10, again. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Or the next two lovely verses. I love these verses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. You can't get further than that. You can't remove our sins, our wrongdoing, all the ways we've messed up further than that. So to those who come in repentance and faith to this good God, the Lord, well, there's total forgiveness, a total wiping clean of our sin. God is good, but we are not. However, God is gracious, and as verse 4 puts it, he redeems our lives from the pit. So the Lord restores us and declares us to be good through his Son Jesus Christ, sent into the world to redeem us. God is good, and in his graciousness, we can be good again. We can be recreated good. By giving ourselves over to Jesus, we can know not only the forgiveness of sins, but a cleansing and healing of our very natures. We can know wholeness and healing in our souls as we become renewed in God's image. Tonight we can come in total confidence to the Lord and experience his loving kindness as he forgives us for all the ways we have messed up. And as he washes us clean, he says to us, "My child, be renewed. Tomorrow is a new day. Walk with me in my goodness." God is good, and we can be good once more when we live in Christ and walk with him. This evening is a good evening to come to the Lord in confidence to receive his forgiveness and his renewing power. Now, as I say, the chap who originally wrote this wonderful song of praise was King David, most likely. He tasted the Lord and he experienced that he is good. He approached the Lord and he discovered a well of loving kindness. And having tasted that compassionate goodness of the Lord, he could say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. God is good, and in his loving kindness, he offers us true wholeness." And as I continue to study this psalm, the next thing that struck me is how God is eternal, but we are not. God is eternal, but we are not. Let's face it, our mortality and frailty are only too obvious. We get sick, we die. The very reason we're here this evening, it's because of our frailty, isn't it? We're fallen creatures living in a fallen world. And our experience in life, therefore, will include times of suffering, times of hurt. Our loved ones also face this bondage to decay. All of us are mortal beings. And so verses 15 and 16 make for very stark reading. "As for man and woman, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." We cannot pretend that life on earth is anything else but finite and often full of trouble. But look again and we see the Lord's compassionate work. Verse 14 tells us that God knows this. He knows we're but dust. He knows our weakness. He knows our mortality. And then in verse 17 we're reminded that God is eternal. And his compassion to us is eternal if we wish to receive it. Verses 17 and 18, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." The Lord's everlasting love will be with those who fear him. In other words, he will redeem our lives eternally if we fear him. When I say fear him, I don't mean a quaking in the boots fear. It's not terror. It's just a proper reverence to God who is almighty. The Lord's everlasting love will be with those who fear him. And that is, after all, why Jesus came, to redeem us from our sin, from our mortality, by dying on the cross, to bring forgiveness, to bring healing, to bring new life. Eternal life. Let's remember, it's to this good, eternal, compassionate God that we come to this evening. We may be fading like the flowers of the field, but the Lord will raise us up eternally if we come to him and acknowledge that he is God, recognising that, as verse 19 puts it, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Therefore, we can be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, eternal beings. So God is eternal, but we are not. But we can be, through Jesus Christ, who loves us dearly. God's everlasting power and love are available to those who fear him. And I say again, it's to this great, loving God that we can come in confidence to this evening. So what should we expect from God this evening? If we come willing to trust him and to follow him, well then we should expect to meet him and to experience his healing hand of compassion. How might that hand of healing compassion be experienced? Well, here's some examples. Let's say we feel weighed down by a burden of guilt. If we bring that burden of guilt and lay it before him, well, we should know that he is willing to carry it for us. Verse 3, he forgives us all our sins. Leave the burden with him. He'll take it. If we bring our mortality before him, we should expect him to hear him say, well, trust me for eternal life. My son died for you. And if you believe and trust in him, you will have life. If we bring an anxiety before him, we should expect to receive the Lord's peace into that anxiety. If we bring a sickness before him, we should expect to experience the Lord's compassion. We might receive his healing. We might receive his comfort and support in dealing with the illness. With whatever we bring, though, we should come in expectation. Expect the Lord's touch in whatever form that may take. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is good. He is everlasting. And he loves us. Let's pray to him. Dear Jesus, we just thank you and praise you that you love us dearly. Tonight we pray that you will reach out through your Spirit, your loving hand of compassion. We come in expectation to receive your healing touch in whatever form you have for us. Give us the faith to receive from you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So we now sing number 502. Let the Son of God enfold you.